Morning. Today's daf in Yavam at Sadi Dal. We're on Sadi Gimel Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting today by my name Rav Sheshes. Okay, here in the 10th parak. So as we've gone over now numerous times, so we have something that is unusual in halacha, extraordinarily unusual, and that is that a woman's husband goes away and doesn't return. Then she's now in a state of unknown, where she does not know the status of her husband. So she's allowed to get remarried, and you don't need what we normally would need in halacha in order to substantiate anything. In halacha, in order to substantiate something, so you need two witnesses. That's the basics. And two kasher witnesses. And the Gemara Sanhedrin, the third parak, goes over in detail exactly what it means to be a kasher witness. Basically, you have to be a law-abiding citizen to consolidate the Gemara there. So anyway, so that's normally what you need. However, when it comes to a desisha, and so that she can move on in her life, so eid echad is enough information in order for her to get married. Now it comes at a cost. In other words, in the event that the eid echad is not giving good information and her husband in fact does come back, so there are going to be a lot of ramifications that she's going to have to endure. And the first Mishnah here in the 10th parak went through all those ramifications, 16 points, in which is going to be consequential towards her in the event that that her husband does in fact show up. Okay, this idea of Eid Echad, so how exactly does it work? Meaning mechanically, how is it working? So that's not an easy question to answer. In fact, as you're going to see, most of today's daf, and the first part of today's daf, is going to deliberate this question. This is classic Gemara in which we are now almost 10 blot here into this parak, a little bit less than that. Parak started on Pei Zayin, and today's daf at Sadi Dalid. So whatever, 8 blot, whatever the number is, we're a good part into this parak, and really now we're asking the fundamental question. This is how Gemara works. The facts were given to us at the beginning of the parak, but in terms of the analysis, so here we are now going over some basic analysis. Meaning, Eid Echad works. How does it work? How is Eid Echad working? Meaning, if what the Torah wants in order to change the status is two witnesses, so how exactly does Eid Echad work? So that's a really wonderful question. And the Gemara here asked the question. And the reason why the Gemara is asking the question is because the Gemara wants to know, can we use Eid Echad in somewhat similar circumstances? So the Gemara begins, Bami Neim Rav Sheshes. Eid Echad B'Yavama Mahu. So what are we going to say regarding Eid Echad towards a Yavama? So in other words, what the witnesses are going to come along and do is testify, and in order to allow her to marry her brother-in-law, meaning she right now is childless. Her husband went away, and the one witness now is coming and reporting that her husband died, and now you have the mitzvah of yibum. So, are we going to allow eid echad for yibum? Now, again, just simply thinking about this out loud before we go through the Gemara. Meaning, what have we been allowing up until now? What we've been allowing up until now is for her to marry somebody else. Meaning, and we're talking now about the Isser of Eishes Ish. The Isser of Eishes Ish is a serious Isser, right? It's an Isser Kares. In fact, it's such a serious Isser that in the event that her husband comes back, so again, like we discussed in the beginning of the parak, right? Many, many consequences because she basically committed a form of adultery. It's a form of it, right? Quasi-adultery. That's a term I've been describing numerous times. But anyway, but over here, are we talking about anything that's radically different? Meaning, if her Yavam turns out not to be her Yavam, meaning if her brother's still alive, so we're talking about Eshesach. Eshesach is very serious. It's an Isser Kares. But it's any more serious than Eshes Ish? It's no more serious than Eshes Ish. So why does this now become a question? Why are we vacillating on this issue? But the Gemara is going to be very clear about that. So the Gemara says, Ma'u Taima De'ed Echad. So really, what we have to do is we have to really understand what's the core root of Eid Echad. Why in this case are we believing one witness? So because Mishum Demilsa David Lugluy La Meshaker Vachinam La Meshaker. So are we believing Eid Echad because the Eid Echad is given credibility? Meaning, what is the secret behind two witnesses? Two witnesses, the Torah says, for that we extend credibility. Okay? In other words, the Torah normally says that two witnesses is the threshold of information that we need in order to establish credibility. Nemanus. Over here, Eid Echad, under normal circumstances, is insufficient. However, if what we could do with Eid Echad is that we could bolster his credibility. How do we bolster that credibility? Because what the Gemara describes is Milsa David Ligluye. It means to say it's as follows. Eventually, he's going to be proven one way or another. Meaning, he's coming and he's saying, I saw your husband and Rachmanis, he died. Okay. Eventually, the truth is going to come out. And he knows that. Meaning what the if he's in fact dead, so fine. So in other words, so what he's saying is the truth. And if he's not dead, people are going to know that he's going to lie, that he lied. So this is information that will become even clearer. It will materialize. So it's a milsa David aluglui. So maybe what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the reason why we will believe Eid Echad is because under normal circumstances, we don't extend one witness credibility. But in the event where it's something which is going to be discoverable, so therefore it's something where it bolsters his credibility. That's one possibility. Now, if that's in fact the case, so then obviously it's not going to make a difference what she's going to do with this information. Meaning she can marry another man, she can marry her brother-in-law. Okay, fine. But there's another possibility in terms of why it is that Eid Echad is Neman in this case. I'm sorry, before we get to the Vahacha. The other possibility is the Isha Daiko Minseva, which means that we expect her to do some investigation. Meaning it's not the one witness by himself. Or again, when one witness doesn't have to be a man, it could be a woman. But it's not the one witness by itself that, which is really providing us the grounds and the sufficient amount of information that would allow her to remarry. But rather what the expectation is that she then is herself going to do her own investigation. And through her own investigation, she's going to discover the truth. Okay. Which obviously puts a tremendous responsibility on her. Meaning, Isha Daiko Mintseva, the idea is that she is going to do her own discovery in terms of whether or not her husband's alive or not. So now, how would that play out over here? So the way it would play out over here is that because we're expecting in the second side of how to say it, because we're expecting her to do research, so she has to be to a certain degree impartial. Now, obviously, that's really difficult, meaning in general, meaning before we get to our specific case, because what we're asking her to do is, hey, in other words, you're in a terrible position, but what you need to do in order to remarry is that you need to do a little bit of discovery on your own. You need to do your own due diligence. Okay, so in of itself, that already is that's a big ask, but that's how Eid Echad works. It works through Isha Daiko Mintseva. But over here, however, let's consider. In other words, this is now so that you can marry your brother-in-law. She already has feelings towards her brother-in-law. Now, what those feelings are, can go one of two directions, as we're going to be seeing over the course of this morning. Meaning it could be that she really likes her brother-in-law. And, in other words, she could, you know, she may favor in the direction of, you know what, again, terrible position, but okay, I know him already, I like him already. Okay, on the other hand, as the Gemara later is going to point out, could be that she hates her brother-in-law. Whichever way, meaning it doesn't really matter for our discussion. The point is that will impugn her own investigation. Meaning she's not going to do a lot of investigation for either direction, either because of love or because of hate. So the Gemara says over here, right now we're going to go on the side of love. V'hacha, kevan dezimnen derachme leilo daiko mintseva. So over here, it could be that she really likes her brother-in-law, and so therefore she's not going to do her due diligence, she's not going to do an investigation. Okay. So what the Gemara now is vacillating between are two different arguments that we're proposing in terms of why Eid Echad works when it comes to a woman and her ability to remarry. Number one, it's a milsa d'avid l'gluye, and therefore the one aid is given is extended credibility because of this idea of milsa d'avid l'gluye. Alternatively, no, one aid by itself is insufficient. And in other words, then it doesn't provide the credibility necessary. But what it does, however, is that it prompts her to do her own research, and then she'll do her due diligence, and she's getting married based on that. Okay, that is how the Gemara presents it. Tosfos over here, Eid Echad b'Yavam Amar Tamei de'Eid Echad, v'im Tomer Mai Kami Ba'Ele Havade Tamei de'Eid Echad Mishum De'Daiko Mintsevahu Kedemuchach Leil. So Tosfos is really bothered at how the Gemara over here seems to be vacillating between two arguments, when meanwhile, previously in the Gemara, it seemed to be Isha Daiko Mintseva was for sure the predominant reason why she's allowed to remarry, because of her own investigation. Okay. And so Tosfos says, look, there certainly is, even according to both positions, there is a certain expectation that she's going to be doing some due diligence. and she will be doing some research. And what the Gemara is asking, the way Tosfos presents it, is a lot or a little. And I know these are things that are really hard to quantify. Obviously, these are hard things that are hard to quantify. But in other words, how much due diligence are we expecting from her? Are we expecting a lot? Are we expecting a little? And that's what the Gemara is saying. And if we're expecting a lot, so then, again, once a brother-in-law now becomes part of the equation, meaning that if, in fact, her husband's dead, she's going to be marrying her brother-in-law, and she has feelings towards the brother-in-law. Again, love, hate, doesn't matter. In other words, she has feelings towards her brother-in-law. So then we can't expect her to do a tremendous amount of due diligence for either because of love or hate. Okay, so. So we have one simple question on the table right now, and it's really going to be occupying not the remainder of today's daf, but a good part of today's daf. And that is that when we say Eidech, it allows a woman to remarry. Okay, that part I get. Would it also allow her to do Yibum, right? And marry her brother-in-law? Okay, so that's right now on the table. And again, what's that issue over here is that when this is now an emotionally charged event, and she already has feelings towards her brother-in-law, so it could very well be that she's just not simply going to do the necessary investigation. Amr lehu, sorry, I just lost my spot. Good. Amr lehu Rav Sheshes, so the question was posed from Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, Tinisua, well, I know the answer because of a Mishnah. And not just any Mishnah, but the Mishnah that we learned yesterday's daf. The Mishnah, Amr Leh, Meis Benech, V'achar Kach, Meis Baalech, V'nis Yavma, V'achar Kach, Amr Leh, Chiluf HaDvarim Teitzah, V'avlad Rishon, V'achron Mamzer. Okay, so, remember, in yesterday's case, her husband went away together with a child. In other words, they had a child. And the husband went away, and the information that's given to her is that they died. And specifically the order, right? You remember what the Mishnah we saw yesterday? Is that the way the order was originally presented that first your son died, and then afterwards your husband died. So that means to say now that we're talking about a Yibum scenario, right? Because in other words, once the son predeceases the husband, so then the husband has died childless. And now there's a mitzvah of Yibum. We discussed this yesterday. So, and so what did we say? We said that if under those circumstances, she does the mitzvah of Yibum, and then afterwards, they came back and said, most of the information you're given is correct, except chiluf advarim, meaning it was first the husband who died, then it was the child who died, and now there's no mitzvah of Yibum, and then it turns out that you married your brother-in-law in the absence of a mitzvah. And in the absence of a mitzvah, so now it's just an issukares, and the child is going to be a mamzer. So, that's the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. Now, what is missing in the Mishnah, and this is obviously an important detail, is who told her? Was it one witness? Was it two witnesses? That part's not clear in the Mishnah. All the Mishnah says is Amrullah. Now, here in the 10th Perek, by the way, that's an ambiguous term. Because as we already established in the first Mishnah, even though the Mishnah uses the words Amru, it doesn't necessarily mean two. Could it mean one? Okay. So... The child would be a mamzer, but right. In other words, in that regard, it wouldn't make a difference. It's the only question that right now is on the table is that if one would tell her, would she be allowed to begin with to marry her brother-in-law? Right. You're absolutely correct. Meaning, even if two came back and told them and they got it wrong, so then the consequence regarding the child is the same. The question, however, the Gemara is dealing with is that if two came back and told her that the order in which it was presented. Obviously, she can go forward with that information. The question is, what if it's one witness who came and reported? Can she go forward with that information? That's the that's the basic question the Gemara is asking right now. And so, with the Mishnah...
Wouldn't the child be able to say that my father died?
No, the child's dead.
No, the reporting is that they both died. They both died. So, hey chidami, ilim etre utre. So the Gemara says, okay. So, what exactly is the case in the Mishnah? Meaning, again, this is an important part of the Mishnah that's not clear. How many witnesses are we talking about? So, if it's two against two, so then the obvious question, my chazis is machani, smachani. So then, why in the world would we be leaving one over the other? Meaning, we have two witnesses saying that this is what happened. We have two witnesses saying that this is what happened. So I don't know at this point in time who to believe. And furthermore, vote mamzer, something mamzer who. And then, if it's two against two, so the child is a mamzer? Absolutely not. Is the child not a mamzer? Also absolutely not. Meaning, we don't know. The terminology of the Mishnah should not be that the child is a mamzer, meaning that's a very definitive statement. And if it's two against two, we have no right to make such a definitive statement that the child is a mamzer. If anything, what the Mishnah should be saying is suffix. We don't know. V'chitem alo dak, and maybe the Mishnah is simply being imprecise. The Gemara says the Mishnah is not being imprecise. Because in a later case of the Mishnah discussed what happens if she was given information, then the information proved to be wrong, but then at a later point in time, the information's good. And so the Rishon is a mamzer, the latter ones are not a mamzer. Meaning the Mishnah is specific and clear about using the term mamzer, not as a non-specific term, but as a very specific term. So the Gemara says, Shmamina dafka ketani. Elav Shmamina. So the Gemara says, okay, so it can't be two against two. Meaning, we just argue that the Mishnah cannot be presenting a case of two against two, because then why in the world are we favoring one set of witnesses over the other? And the Mishnah's terminology of mamzer is imprecise, and the Mishnah is not there to give us imprecise language of mamzer, when meanwhile it meant suffik mamzer. So the Gemara says, so Shmamina chad. So it must be that when first reported, it came to us via one witness. Now, the only reason why there's problems in the Mishnah is because then subsequent to the one witness, a pair of witnesses came in and contradicted the one witness. But in other words, absent of that, halav hachi mehemen. So that means to say that we're going to believe the one witness, meaning that when the one witness reports that her husband died and, again, childless, and there's a surviving brother, so she could do the mitzvah of Yibum. So to the question of, can Eid Echad work in order so that she can marry her brother-in-law through the mitzvah of Yibum? The answer right now seems to be yes. Again, the Mishnah didn't say clearly, but right now we're working our way through the Mishnah. It seems to be that's the way to explain the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, alternatively, what are we asking? We're asking Eid Echad. Are we ready to believe Eid Echad? So in an alternate way to deal with the very same question, the Gemara says, I don't see that as being even a question. Meaning, we're ready to believe her, did not. So here's a Mishnah. We're going to see the Mishnah a little bit later in the Masechta. Woman comes back, and she herself is self-reporting. And she's saying, look, my husband died. And based on no information other than what she provided herself, she's believed. Either to marry another man or to do the mitzvah of Yibum. In other words, she can establish the fact that her husband has died. And so, kiti bailach lemishri yavam alama. So the Gemara says, okay, so if we're ready to believe her regarding the status of her husband, so don't you think we're ready to believe Eid Echad regarding the status of her husband, even though it means that it's going to result in Yibum? So at this point, the Gemara is of the belief that this question isn't even a question. So the Gemara says, so what's the question? Lemishrei yavam alama. So the question is that are we going to be prepared to believe Eid Echad to allow this yavama to marry now somebody else? So meaning yavam alama Rashi Eid Echad matir l'shuk shomer la meis v'mech o meis balech v'achakach meis benech. Meaning she is in a possible yibum situation. Right? In other words, it could be the witnesses came back and said that first your son died, then your husband died. Meaning putting her in a Yibum situation. Let me do that better. Right now she is in a Yibum situation. Her husband went away and we don't know where he is, and there is a brother. There is a possibility for Yibum. However, the witnesses now come back and the following reporting. And that is that no Yibum. Why? Because first your husband died, then your son died. So are we ready to believe the witnesses over that? Alternatively, the one witness comes back and says, your brother-in-law died. And so, in other words, the husband already is dead, and now they're reporting that your brother-in-law died. In other words, Yavam L'shuk. Are we ready to believe Eid Echad when it comes to Yavam L'shuk? So again, my time of day, Eid Echad, Misham Demelsa David, Lo Mishaker, Hachinami Lo Mishaker. So again, is the whole principle of Eid Echad a predicate of the, because this is something which is discoverable, that now fortifies the credibility of the one witness. That's one possibility. Odilma, alternatively, time of day, Echamishim di daika mitzvah, vahalo daika mitzvah, dimisnahu. On the other hand, the reason why we are ready to believe Eid Echad is because we're expecting her to do an investigation. Over here, she is not prepared to do an investigation. In fact, she is more than happy with this piece of news, meaning her brother-in-law. She does not like him at all. I told you at the beginning, we're going to vacillate between love and hate. So over here, now we're on the emotion of hate. She hates her brother-in-law. Okay. So now in the event that she hates her brother-in-law, so now, I'm sorry, what was that? Right, I don't have a mitzvah of Yibam anymore? Good. Fantastic. I'm supposed to do due diligence? Done. Right? All I need is any piece of information that tells me I don't have to do the mitzvah of Yibam, I'm good. So in other words, then maybe Eid Echad is a predicate of we're expecting her to do some due diligence. Over here, because of her intense hatred to her brother-in-law, she is not interested in doing any due diligence whatsoever. And if that's in fact true, so then we're not prepared to use Eid Echad to allow Yivam Elushuk. Demisnahu desanyale. Okay, so right now in the Ikadarmi, in the second version of this discussion, we're not asking about the Eid Echad in order for her to marry her Yavam, but rather we're asking Eid Echad in terms of releasing her from her Yavam. Okay. Now, if you're wondering, Tosos also is wondering, meaning previously we said that she may really like him and therefore she may not do the proper due diligence, and we concluded, she even though despite the fact that she likes him, she'll do some due diligence. And meanwhile over here, when it comes to her possible hatred for her brother-in-law, so there, no way she's going to be doing her due diligence. So what are we saying? We're saying that hatred is stronger than love? Actually, yeah. And in fact, Tosa says, Ki dibay lachivam alama. You'll see Tosa Sadi Dalamad Aleph. It's the first day of Bar Maskel. Dahazamik lamema tfei de lo daika shapir, mishum de sanyale. So over here, yeah. In other words, the potential hatred that she has towards her brother-in-law is stronger. Avagav de mishum de merach melei lo shafka melemeidak mishum. I'm sorry, mishum de sanya shafka tfei. So even though previously we said she may really like her brother-in-law, and yet previously we concluded, yeah, but she'll still do some research. In other words, to make sure that her husband's dead. But over here, because of her intense hatred to her brother-in-law, So she's not going to be doing any research whatsoever. So Tosfos says correct, because hatred can be a stronger emotion. He writes clearly. Shegdola sinas hasonas me'ava ho'heves u'shchich tfei desanyalei mederach melei. So Tosfos says that hatred is just going to motivate a person more to make poor decisions. And Tosfos says, and generally speaking, we'll assume that if there is an emotion, meaning there probably is an emotion, but if there's an emotion, more probably there is hatred over that of love. Okay. Family dynamics. Right? I said in the beginning of the Masechta, right? Yibam is a family Masechta. Right? And like all families, meaning it's not a new phenomena that there's, you know, dysfunction within the family setting. And yeah, there are going to be emotions towards family members. The Gemara over here is speaking it out. Okay? The Gemara is as real as one can imagine. No, right. But in other words, but if Eid Echad is all predicate of we're expecting her to do some research, so her hatred towards her brother will basically say, this is the best news in the world. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
She still has to be evil
if he's alive, right? In other words, right now her husband, in this Ikadamri, her husband's dead. And now it's just a question of, does she have to do Yibam? And right now she got one piece of testimony from one witness saying that she doesn't have to do Yibam for whatever reason, meaning her Yavam's dead, whatever the case is. So now, can we expect her to do any research? And the Gemara, right. And the Gemara is right now entertaining, nah, we can't expect it. So, Rav Sheshis Tenisu, so Rav Sheshis says, okay, so I'm now ready to discuss this based on the following Mishnah. So, let's say the reporting comes back. Again, this is our Mishnah that we saw yesterday. So that your husband died, followed then by your son. So again, the way the reporting is originally issued, so there's no mitzvah of Yibam. And then Venises, and then she gets married, meaning to somebody else. And V'achar kach amar lechilav hayudvarim teitzev avlad rishon v'achar amamzer. So now the first and the last child are going to be mamzer. Hechidami lemitre utre. And again over here, what's the issue? Meaning, not what's the issue. Let me say it better. Meaning, who's reporting? Again, the Mishnah uses that vague term of amrula. They said to her. But who said to her? So again, what are we talking about? Two witnesses against two witnesses? So once it's two against two, we don't know who to believe. And va'od mamzer safik mamzerhu. And again, the Mishnah's usage of the term mamzer to describe the child, meaning it's not a mamzer, it's a safik. So again, the Mishnah is not imprecise. Meaning when the Mishnah uses the word mamzer, it meant mamzer. So it must be now that the reporting is not two versus two, but the original reporting was one. El alav chad. So that's who's reporting. One witness is reporting. And v'tam dasu betrei ashkechuha achshua. And the only reason why we are going to be believing the second set of witnesses is because it's two against one. But halav hachi mehemen. But short of that, however, we're going to believe the one. And so the one witness is telling her that there's no mitzvah of yibum. And now as a yavama, she's muteris. She now is free to marry whoever she wants. So that's the way it seems like from our Mishnah. So again, we're making a deek in a Mishnah because there's no alternative way to explain the Mishnah. The reporting must have been done by one witness, allowing a yavama l'shuk. So the Gemara says no. Lo olam trei trei. So the Gemara says no. It could be two against two. And again, how could it be two against two? Meaning, once it's two, it's against two. It's a stalemate. We have no reason to believe one over the other. And so the Gemara says, well, in other words, you're right. Two against two, usually. So that is they knock each other out. And we don't know we don't know. Over here, however, it could be that the second set of witnesses were Eidei Azama. And they were Mazim, the first set of witnesses. And we know that when it comes to Azama, there's a Chiddush, a tremendous Chiddush, which is that we believe the second set over the first set. Now, Azama, right, you learn the Gemara of Makos, meaning it's the beginning of Makos. So Hazama means that the second set of witnesses say that the first set of witnesses are not credible, because Imanu, Aisim, but Makom Ploni, they were with us at the time. Meaning there was no way that they could testify regarding the death of the husband, not because we know any information regarding the husband, but because Imanu, Aisim, they were just with us at the time. So the Chiddush HaTorah is that we believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. Okay. So now the truth of the matter is, that's a difficult pshat in our Mishnah. Meaning this is now me talking. Right? The Gemara says it could be that the Mishnah is talking about Eidei Azama. Now I'm just telling you, you read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the second set of witnesses say, Chiluf Hayu Advarim. It's the opposite. Meaning, and what the Gemara now is proposing is that the second set of witnesses are saying, Imanu Aisim B'Makom Ploni, it really doesn't fit in well into the words of the Mishnah. Okay. So this is it's a forced pshat, meaning it's a difficult pshat in the Mishnah, but the Gemara is offering it. It's possible. Okay. Now, Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, Amalei Rav Acha Rav Ashi Tashma. So again, what are we litigating? We want to know Eidechad as it relates to a Yivama. Right? Right now she's in a Yibam situation. And now, can one witness come and extricate her from that Yibam situation? Right? Again, testimony could be that that your brother-in-law died. Testimony could be that you did have a husband and you did have a son, but they died in the order of husband-son, which means that you no longer have a mitzvah of Yibam. So, are we ready to believe Eid Echad in the case of Yivam L'Shok? So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's consider the following. So again, a mission that we're going to be seeing later in the Masechta. A woman is not believed to say that a woman is not believed to say that that my brother-in-law died. That I should marry. Sorry, I got stuck here for a moment. Who does she want to marry here in this first case? She wants to marry. She wants to marry somebody else. And ain't. Huh? Wait one second. Wait. Let's go step by step. She just wants to marry somebody else, and she's coming back and she's testifying that my brother-in-law died. Okay? She's not believed. Alternatively, she's not believed to say that her sister died. In other words, so that she can marry her brother-in-law. As we've gone over numerous times, a woman is allowed to marry. Let's do it from the perspective of the man. The man is allowed to marry his wife's sister if, in fact, his wife is dead. Okay. So so a woman cannot say that her brother-in-law died. A woman cannot say that her sister died in order to allow her to marry. Now, he needs a lamahemna. So now, after learning the Mishnah, so what did we learn? We just learned together that she's not credible. However, haidecha meheman. So the Gemara says, okay, so that means to say that the Mishnah is telling us who is not credible, and by deduction, we're going to learn who is credible. And so she's not credible, but one witness would be credible. Okay, perfect. Meaning, oh, good. That's exactly the point. Meaning she can't testify, but one witness can. That's exactly the point. So the Tamech and the Sefer, so the Gemara says, okay, wonderful. Let's read on in that Mishnah. All right? Again, that Mishnah is coming up later. So, Eina Ishna Eman Lomar Mesachi She'ayavim Es Ishto. Now the man is not believed. The man is not believed that my brother died so that I can marry his wife. A man is not believed that my wife died so that I can marry his sister. So who knew the lamehemen? Ha'edachan mehemen. So the Gemara says. So now, you ready to make the same diuk? Right? You're ready to do that same deduction? Right? The man is not believed, but one witness is believed. It's not true. The Gemara immediately reacts to that. Yeah, when it comes to the woman, we're ready to extend credibility, stretch credibility, because of the terrible situation of a woman being in a neguna state. So the chachamim are ready to bend a little bit, but however, but as far as a man is concerned, a man is not going to be in a neguna state. Okay, so recall, a man can marry more than one woman. Man can marry two women, three women. So over here, there's no reason that halacha needs to be stretched or bending at all. And so what's the diuk over there? The man is not believed, but one witness is? No. One witness is not believed. So the Gemara says, fine. So as far as the Mishnah is concerned, so the diuk that you wanted to make is simply not correct. It's not true. Meaning it's not... She's not believed to the exclusion of one witness. No, one witness also is not believed. So then what's the purpose of the Mishnah? Meaning the Mishnah is obviously trying to teach us something. What's the purpose of the Mishnah? Purpose of the Mishnah is for Rabbi Akiva. Because Sakadat Chamina Holvam Rabbi Akiva Yeshmam Zemechayv Elavim. Because remember, according to Rabbi Akiva, even though we're just talking about Isurei Lav, but according to Rabbi Akiva, what does the Isurei Lav result in? It results in the child being a mamzer. So, aim achaisha kakula. Okay, whether the word desire belongs there or not, the Bach takes it out. But anyway, vidaika kamash malan. So the Gemara says, but look, according to Rabbi Akiva, the ramifications are going to be devastating. Meaning, even though we're talking about Yavam Lashuk and it's only a lav, but nevertheless, according to Rabbi Akiva, a lav is comparable to a kares. The child is going to be a mamzer. So I might have thought maybe because the consequences are going to be so devastating that maybe what she'll do is she'll do even more investigation, right? And going back to what we discussed earlier, meaning in terms of what kind of expectation we have that she's going to do a proper investigation, maybe since the consequences are going to be so devastating, maybe she will be motivated to do more of an investigation. Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says no. Because if what she's doing, she's testifying about herself, like Danny said earlier, she's no gay bedavar, and therefore she does not have any credibility vis-a-vis herself. Okay. Where are we right now? Again, we have two versions of the Gemara's discussion, but basically it comes out to the following. We know Eidachat allows would allow a woman to remarry. Okay, that we know. What we're asking over here, the question on the table is, in version number one, are we ready to say Eidachat? So the are we prepared to believe one witness? So she could do the mitzvah of Yibum, right? The in other words, the one witness coming and saying that her husband died, and she does have a surviving brother, and would we be inclined to say that one witness works to allow her to do the mitzvah of Yibum? Why would we even suggest otherwise? Because again, once her brother-in-law comes into play, so in the first version of today's daf, so she really likes him, she won't be doing a proper investigation, which is what we need in order to believe Eidachat. That's one way we ask the question. The second way we ask the question is Yivama L'shok, meaning she is right now currently in a Yibum situation, and are we ready to believe the one witness in order to extricate her from the Yibum situation? And over here, in the second version of the Gemara's discussion, her immense hatred towards her brother-in-law may, at that point in time, sway her to think and say, I'm not going to be doing any investigation. I'm sorry, I right, some reporting that I don't have to do Yibum, right, good for me. And because of her intense hatred for her husband. And what we've been doing up until now is, well, let's take a look at this Mishnah, let's take a look at that Mishnah, meaning can't we deduce from this Mishnah, can't we deduce from that Mishnah? And when all said and done, no, we failed on trying to make the Yukim in the Mishnah. Okay, so a little bit more. Rav Amar Eidachad Neman B'Yavama Mikav V'Chomer. So Rav says that Eidachad is going to be Neman by Yavama. And Rav says, and what we could do is the following. I don't have to make a deek in the Mishnah. Let's just argue this out. So Lisa Karzi Tarta Lisa Lavlo Kol Shekain. And the argument actually is pretty simple. Meaning, the entire Perek is predicated on the fact that Eidachad will be believed so that she can marry another man. A potential Isser Kares, Neil, if we're talking about adultery. So if you're ready to allow that, so don't you think that we're prepared to allow her to, if she's a Yavama, and the one witness is telling her that you don't have to do the mitzvah of Yibum, and what kind of Isser are we talking about over here? We're talking about a lav. So if Eidachad is going to be believed in order to be mater and Isser Kares, Eishes Ish, so you don't think Eidachad is going to allow her a lav of Yivam Lashuk? Okay. So Amaleahu Mei Rabban LaRava He Atz Matochiach. So they turned to Rav and they said the argument is can be just simply turned around. Deleisar Karis Yitarta Leisar Lav Lo Yitarta. The Gemara says just the opposite, meaning because of the severity of Eishes Ish, so maybe for that the Chachamim said okay, we'll give you a pass. But Lav, maybe she won't take it as seriously, and maybe for that the Chachamim didn't extend credibility. So ve'ela'im aytam lo mehemna dekem dezimna desamulei lo daika mitzvah. Eidachanami dekem dezimna desamulei lo daika mitzvah. And in fact, look, meaning we know the Mishnah later on. The Mishnah says that she can't come back and testify regarding herself that she no longer has the mitzvah of Yibum, right? Meisivami, we don't believe her. So, and the reason why is because of the emotions, because of the charged emotions that she may have. So if we know that, so then what's the difference between that and one witness coming and an expectation that she has to do her research and we just already established that she may have an intense hatred for her brother-in-law? I don't know, says the Gemara. Maybe she's not to be believed under those circumstances. So basically what comes out now from the Gemara is that really unknown. Meaning, two versions of the Gemara's question in today's daf. One witness coming and saying that she has a mitzvah of Yibum. So is that, are we going to believe them? It seems like on the first version, it sounds like from the Gemara that we concluded. Yeah. In other words, even though she may end up liking him and her like love to her brother-in-law may derail her own investigation, but that the Gemara seems to suggest that we are, it sounds like the Gemara's conclusion is for that we're ready to expect her to, and trust that she'll do some sort of investigation. However, when the second version of today's daf, the second version of the question is that she's in a Yibum situation. And now the one witness is coming and extricating her from the Yibum situation. Are we going to believe her? And there the Gemara did not conclude. Meaning there the Gemara clearly left us off with, I don't know. And that question is all a predicate of, she has such a hatred towards her brother-in-law, who knows? meaning maybe she's so happy to hear this information, she's not ready to do a stitch of investigation on that. We're going to finish up. Let's finish up to the Mishnah. Zemej Yishosher Rav Elazar ben Masya. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav Havalei Rav Elazar. I'm sorry. Havalei Li Rav Elazar LeMidrash Beit Marganisa V'Darsh Beit Chaspa. Okay, so Rav Yudah Amar Rav says something which is quite frankly very critical. Meaning, he says that Rav Elazar had a fantastic opportunity to make a powerful drasha, and whatever he did not hit it out of the park. Okay, if I can borrow some terrible sports cliche. So my Marganisa D'Tanya, the Gemara says, now what could have he darshan from the pasuk? Isha grusha me isha filon eskar shalem isha psula l'kuhuna v'hain recha get the pasuk b'kuhuna. Meaning from the pasuk of Isha Grusha Misha. Now, if you remember our Mishnah said, what was the drasha that our Mishnah provided? That the drasha of Rav Elazar ben Masya. The drasha is that a woman is only going to be divorced when the husband is issuing the divorce. If it's a non-husband issuing the divorce, well, non-husband issuing the divorce, what are we talking about? So what we're talking about is the second man who ended up not being her husband. She thought it was, but it's not. And if he issues a divorce to her, that is a non-event. That's how Rav Elazar ben Masya darshan the pasuk in our Mishnah. And what Rav Yehuda Marav says is, I'll do one better, right? This is, by the way, you're not going to see it that often, where an Amora is going to basically say, I can do better than the Tana, right? This is a strange situation here in the Daf, but that's what's happening. And he says, I can do better, meaning Isha Grusha Me Isha. Now, what do we know? We know that in order for a get to be a good get, so it has to create severance between man and woman. Right, this is one of the basics. Right, the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Gittin in Gerushin. So he goes over 10 basic halachas in terms of Hilchos Gerushin. So one of the most basic halachas is that it has to create full severance between man and woman, no strings attached. If let's say he says to her, "Look, I'll divorce you, but you can't marry anybody else," okay, that is not a get. Okay, and she's not divorced. Okay, but as we learned in Gittin and over here, the Gemara is mentioning it really briefly. There's this idea of re'ech haget, that even though the get is ineffective, but it smells like a get. Okay, it's a funny expression, but basically it gives her some status as a grusha, and therefore she can't marry a kohen. So over here, if he gives her a get with a significant string attached, notably, right, I'll divorce you, but you can't marry anybody else. That's isha grusha me isha. She's divorced from him and only from him, meaning, but she's not free to marry anybody else. So despite the fact that the get is ineffective and it's not a good get, nevertheless, it's got a re'echa get, and therefore she can't marry a kohen. That, he says, Rav Yehuda Marav says, is a preferred drasha, his preferred drasha that he gets from this pasuk. Okay. All right, we'll stop over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up with the Mishnah. Okay.